Like to call the Thursday, December 21st, 2017, City of Columbia, Missouri Planning and Zoning Commission regular meeting. I'd like to call it to order. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Mr. Harder.
Here.
Mr. McMahon.
Present.
Mr. Stanton.
Here.
Mr. Strodman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing.
Here.
Ms. Russell.
Here.
Mr. Tuohy. I am here. Ms. Lowe.
Here.
We have eight. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Mrs. Secretary. Any changes to the agenda?
Yes, actually, if you do not mind, the applicant for cases 1835 and 1818 has asked that their two cases be heard sequentially. So we would just ask that case 1818 be moved up to the first public hearing slot ahead of 185.
Is everyone on commission? Are commissioners okay with that change in order? I see that. Okay, we'll make that change. Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Palmer?
No, that is it.
Thank you, sir. Moving on. Approval of minutes. December 7th, 2017, regular minute meeting notes. Are there any changes or corrections needed to those notes? I see none. We'll do a thumbs up. All thumbs up. Thank you. Okay, moving on to our first case of the evening. At this time, I would ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte communications prior to this meeting related to case 18-14, please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of us. Thank you, commissioners. A request by Civil Group on behalf of Paris Road Plaza, LLC, to rezone two properties containing a total of 6.3 acres from PD, which is our planned district, to IG, which is our industrial district. The subject parcels are located on the east side of Paris Road, approximately 1,200 feet north of Brown Station Road, to the north and south of the Orchlands Farm and Home, addressed as 3300 Paris Road. Applicant has requested this item be tabled to the January 18th, 2018 Planning Commission meeting. Maybe with a staff report, please.
Actually, that's all I have on that. They would just like to table it to the 18th.
Ma'am, few words. We like that. Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Commissioners, anybody in the audience have anything related to this case? You're welcome to come forward at this time. I see none, commissioners. Mr. Stanton?
As it relates to case 18-14, Paris Road Plaza rezoning, I move the table till January 18th, 2018.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Stanton and Mrs. Russell. Commissioners, we have had a motion has been made and seconded, made by Mr. Stanton, seconded by Mrs. Russell. Is there any further discussion needed? May we have a roll call, please, Mrs. Secretary?
Yes. Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Mr. Strodman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
8-0, motion carries.
Thank you, Mrs. Burns. Case 18-14 will be forwarded and will be discussed at our January 18th, 2018 meeting. Moving on to our first subdivision case of the evening. At this time, I would ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte communications prior to this meeting related to case 17-64. Please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of us. Thank you, commissioners. A request by Engineering Surveys and Services on behalf of Paul Allen Branham for approval of a two-lot final plat of R1, which is the one-family dwelling district zone land to be known as Branham Renfro Subdivision Plat 2. And an associated variance to waive sidewalk construction. The 1.59-acre subject site is located at the northwest corner of West Boulevard and Stadium Boulevard and addressed at 1028 and 1100 West Winds Drive. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you had stated, this is a request for a final minor plat and an associated variance. I'll point out that this is considered a variance as the application for this project was made prior to the adoption of the UDC. So referring to the old subdivision regulations and how that was implemented prior to the UDC adoption. So that's why we're calling it a variance. Generally, the area is about an acre and a half. The request is to subdivide this previously unplatted property into two lots, and it does include the sidewalk waiver for a portion along West Boulevard, as you can see in the aerial here. This is an oblique aerial view of the site, to give you some context of the site. It does border on three roadways, West Boulevard to the east and Stadium Boulevard on the south, and also West Winds Drive, where the access will be for the two newly created lots. And I will state that as far as variance goes, a request to waive sidewalk along Stadium has also been made. However, with the previous code, Stadium is considered an expressway, and those types of requests just go straight to council for their consideration, so it'll be part of the council report at that point, so it's not part of the discussion tonight. Again, as I stated, this property had never been previously subdivided. Individuals who follow city council may find this property a little familiar. We did actually, when this was submitted, and part of the reason that it was delayed was that upon review of the site, it was discovered that the city actually owned a portion of property to the north of the city. In order for this property to be able to have access from West Winds, they approached the city about swapping out some property. That did go through the city. And was approved, so that property is being incorporated into this property. It's generally along the north side of the plat. You can see there the area that's referred to in the quick claim deed along the north side of the property, approximately north 50 feet or so. Generally, the plat is dedicating some additional easements, but no additional right-of-way at this point. And it does have two existing structures on it currently. One would be on each of the newly created lots. The variance, again, is for approximately 200 feet of sidewalk along West Boulevard. After evaluating all the design standards, variance standards for granting a sidewalk waiver along an unimproved street, which West Boulevard is considered along this stretch to be an unimproved street, we did concur with the request. Looking at the four standard criteria, we did feel it met the majority of those, and the request was warranted at this time. Generally, there's no additional development going on the site, so the cost of the sidewalk would be the full cost of the construction or the future development of this property. The terrain is somewhat challenging, especially along West Boulevard if you've been there, although technically the sidewalk construction would probably be feasible along that stretch. West Boulevard is considered to be a high-volume street, but there is no sidewalk network in the area, per se, that would it would connect to and provide additional connectivity. And there's few generators along this area or within the region that a sidewalk would actually connect pedestrians to. Given the fact that Stadium has no sidewalks, there's not really any pedestrian drivers going up and down Stadium, per se, with the exception maybe of the access to the MKT trail to the east. But West Winds, actually, through the subdivision, provides better pedestrian connectivity. Especially when you get to the intersection of Forum, there is a sidewalk that goes from West Winds and crosses Stadium at Forum, which is most likely the likely location where pedestrians would be traveling in this location. A couple other points, too. Sorry, this is just a quick view of down the stretch of west where the sidewalk would be, the variance would be granted. On the left side, this is looking north. So it would be generally the sidewalk would have to be basically at the edge of the pavement here. As you can see, the terrain is somewhat challenging to the left with quite a bit of rocky outcroppings and drainage to the left, too. So there would be some significant grading that would have to take place probably to fit a sidewalk in this location, although technically it probably could occur. A couple other important points. There is no plans for a sidewalk in the CIP plan along West Boulevard in this location. The master sidewalk plan does have sidewalks on it for West, but it does terminate at West Winds. And the likely, basically the likely result of that recommendation is that pedestrians at that point would then take West Winds to access Forum. So we think taking all that information together, we do support the waiver of the sidewalk in this location. So I'd be happy to answer any questions from the commission.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Commissioners, are any questions of staff? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Smith, just real quickly, the frontage on West Winds is 54 feet and change?
Correct.
And we're going to have two houses fronting?
Correct.
Could you help me?
Yes. So they have the adequate lot width at the portion of the lot. They have adequate lot width, which is 60 feet minimum, at a portion, at a location along their lots at some point. So generally the setback is at 25 feet, but the way the code was previously written, as long as there's basically a 60-foot width somewhere along that portion, it is considered to be a legal lot.
Yeah, that why I refer to you, because I know what the new one says. I wasn't sure what the old one says. That was my question. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Any additional questions, commissioners? Even though this is not a public hearing, this is a subdivision matter. If there's anybody in the audience that would like to come forward and give us any information related to this case, we would just ask that you give us your name and address before you start speaking.
Good evening. My name is Tim Reed. I am with Engineering Surveys and Services at 1113 Fay Street. Mr. Branham has owned, and his family have owned, this property for 78 years. It was cut in half by Stadium Boulevard, those two lots that are right below the subject tract were once part of the Branham tract. And these two houses have also been here for a long time. And Mr. Branham has no plans for the property other than to make each house sitting on its own legal lot. He'll gladly build that sidewalk along West Winds Drive when the time comes. That's logical. The sidewalk along West Boulevard just doesn't make any sense. It would really be a very dangerous sidewalk since the road's not improved. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions for the speaker? I see none. Thank you, sir. Anyone else like to come forward? Thank you. Commissioners, any further discussion, information needed, a motion? Mr. McMahon.
I have a motion.
I would take it.
In the case of 17-64, the final plat and variance, I move that we approve same.
Thank
Second.
You. Ms. Lou. I have a motion made by Mr. McMahon for case 17-64, seconded by Ms. Lowe. Is there any discussion or additional information needed on this motion? I see none. Mrs. Secretary, when you're ready.
Yes. Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Mr. Strodman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
8-0 motion carries.
Thank you, Mrs. Burns. Our recommendation for approval before to City Council for their consideration. Moving on to our next subdivision, case 18-35. At this time, I would ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte communications prior to this meeting related to case 18-35, please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of us. I see none. Thank you, commissioners. A request by Engineering Surveys and Services on behalf of Last Enterprises, LLC, for revised preliminary plat to be known as Center State Plat 14. The subject 7.66-acre parcel is located at the southwest corner of the intersection of Vandiver Drive and Mexico Gravel Road between Vandiver and Highway 63. Concurrent requests for rezoning case 18-18 and final plat, which is case 18-17, approval are being considered with this request. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thanks, Mr. Chairman. The applicant seeking a three-lot revised preliminary plat of their property, as you stated, between Highway 63 and Vandiver Drive, currently known as Lot 1 of Center State Plat 13. The preliminary plat, this preliminary plat, would actually divide the lot into three development lots, each roughly 2 to 3 acres in size. Property owner intends to prepare each lot for sale into individual ownership and for development to suit the prospective buyer's needs. As you stated, a concurrent rezoning, case 1818, will see next on the agenda, and that would rezone the property to IG, or General Industrial District. Vandiver Drive and Mexico Gravel are fully improved with all necessary sidewalks adjacent to the subject parcel. Vandiver is proposed to be expanded to four lanes in the future. Right-of-way to accommodate the expansion has been previously obtained, and the existing sidewalks along the site's Vandiver frontage are placed in accordance with that expansion. The that project's not currently on the city's CIP plan. However, the traffic division did indicate that it would probably be on a future version of that plan. Vandiver is major arterial in the adjacent to the site, and Mexico Gravel is a major collector along the north edge until it enters the roundabout, which you can see in the aerial there. And then on the east side of the roundabout, Mexico Gravel is also a major arterial as it heads eastward towards Ballinger and onto Route Z. The site, as you can see in this aerial map, contains a small area of floodplain overlay. This is the case that we warned you about at the last meeting, and how there would be a change in the interpretation of the code and how we handle floodplain overlay. So I can explain that a little bit. Mr. Reed, the applicant's representative, actually pointed out for this case that there's a section of code that indicates it's actually 29.1.6. If there's a conflict between any part of the chapter, let's just skip to the important part here. If there's a conflict between the provisions of an overlay zone district and any other regulation in this chapter, the provisions of the overlay zone district shall govern regardless of whether they are more or less restrictive. And so as there are no restrictions on development, we have allowed the applicant to create a three-lot arrangement with the inclusion of the floodplain overlay in one or maybe two of those lots. It will have to be respected when they are building their property out, and we've asked that they actually combine access drives to lots two and three, which are the south end. I can give you a plan there. The floodplain overlay is in this dashed line here that you can barely see. But as you can see here is a narrow spot in that floodplain at that lot line. So we ask that they cross the floodplain in that area. Vandiver was actually built up out of the floodplain in that area, and it makes sense that they would connect to it there. Let's see. So the preliminary plat is actually required by code, as the subdivision of this existing lot is inconsistent with the original approved preliminary plat, which is actually the Center State CP plan. It was the broad Center State CP plan. There was actually no standalone CP plan for this property. And so as a product of the Vandiver expansion, the roundabouts being built on both ends, this property has shifted and changed in numerous ways since it was originally platted as part of the Center State development. So this preliminary plat really serves as kind of an update to that. It will, The Center State Plat 13 actually replatted it so that it matched this arrangement as one lot. And then as a change to that, then the preliminary plat is required. And so that's where we are now. So the proposed preliminary plat's been reviewed by staff and found to be compliant with all subdivision regulations. And so the recommendation would be for approval. I will answer any questions if you have them.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Questions of staff, commissioners? Ms. Lowe.
Mr. Palmer, I understand that because of the apparent inconsistency in the UDC, we're not getting the sensitive land map identifying the buildable area.
We did receive a sensitive areas map, but it did not play into the creation of the plat, because the floodplain overlay is the only sensitive area that crosses the site. So,
okay. So the sensitive land map area map included the floodplain.
Yes.
Okay. So did they designate a building area outside of that?
They haven't yet. It will be on the final plat, I believe.
All right, which was going to be my second question, that under the floodplain overlay, just confirming that a floodplain development permit would be required?
Correct.
For the plots that are do have areas located in the floodplain?
Right.
All right. Thank you.
And that's just during, that's for the final plat?
That would be, yes.
That would be part of the final plat process?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Commissioners, additional questions of staff? Ms. Rushen?
Will there be 3 points of access, one for each lot? Do you know?
That hasn't been determined yet. They haven't offered any site design plans. But like I said, staff has recommended 2 points of entryway off of Vandiver. Lot one is probably fine, and then lot 2 and 3, we've suggested that they share an access point.
So, Ms. Rushing, if on this particular map, Mr. Palmer, can you wave your mouse over?
Yeah. It's,
right there is where the road would be recommended by the city staff to combine those two lots. So the access point would be right there for those two lots. Any additional questions of staff, commissioners? We will open it up as it is a subdivision matter, but we will open it up as in past practices. Oops, sorry.
I'll be very quick. Mr. Planner Palmer, can you go back to the oblique aerial? I want to see the road ditch for a minute.
Yeah.
On that southern tip, do we know what the stormwater situation is down there?
I believe everything drains towards that southern tip, and then that is...
That's my question. Do we go under the road there, or what do we do? Because I know Vandiver is... I remember before...
Yeah, Vandiver's raised, and so I do believe it goes under the road there. And I believe that was, if I remember right, that was why it was notched off as right-of-way. They were kind of doing stormwater management for the roadway improvements.
My concern is the follow-up on Commissioner Lowe's comments is where the water is going to go in the future. That's I want to see where we're going. Thank you very much. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. McMahon. Any additional questions, commissioners? Anyone in the audience that come forward, we would welcome you at this time.
Good evening. My name is Mark Farnan, 103 East Brandon, Columbia, Missouri. I am appearing on behalf of Last Enterprises, who is the applicant tonight. We have 2 pieces of business that are going to run consecutively. This is the one is to rezone about 7.5 acres to IG from a current PD designation. This one is to establish the revised preliminary plat. We agree that that needs to be done. And in essence, what we're wanting to do is from that one piece, create 3 usable lots, each of which could most likely sustain a building that would be 20 to 25,000 square feet in size, which is what we think would be marketable and what the applicant, through his experience in this business, believes is marketable as well. We believe that the report of the staff is comprehensive, and we appreciate their recommendation in this behalf. We would prefer not to rehash that information with a lengthy presentation, but would be happy to answer questions of any sort of technical nature. We have myself to discuss zoning aspects of this, or 2 engineers from ESS, Matt Creedy and Tim Reed, who would be happy to talk about other issues that may relate to traffic and stormwater. With that being said, we would invite your questions, and we would ask you to vote in favor of this tonight.
Commissioners, any questions for the speaker? I see none. Thank you, Mr. Farnan.
Thank you.
My name is Matthew Crudy. I'm with Engineering Surveys and Services. The office is at 1113 Fay Street. To address your question, Mr. McMahon, in regards to the stormwater, the site itself is going to drain southerly and easterly, so it's going to drain towards Vandiver Drive. At this point, you know, the city's established what that drainage pattern will be with the existing storm sewer system. So there's a point of discharge near the southern tip, kind of where you're talking down there, that discharges towards the creek. And then if you see the line that's kind of off to the right side of Vandiver there, that's the storm sewer system. So that's going to take that off and then discharge. So you're going to see a split discharge from this property. In regards to the driveway locations, at this stage, I mean, I don't think our client wants to commit to a shared point of access. I think there's some concern about maybe some incompatibility of uses or things of that nature. And in relations to impact to the floodplain, I think you're looking at something that's very, very minimal, if at all. Vandiver Drive itself is in the floodplain. If you look at the portion of from about midpoint of lot 2 southward, that's all within the floodplain itself. So a driveway approach in that location is going to be in the floodplain. It's not going to change elevations that area. It's not going to change the flood flow. It's not going to change any sort of elevations of the floodplain. So I think there's going to be very little benefit from a flood elevation standpoint. And then from a driveway separation standpoint, I mean, we're looking at 400, 450 feet separations that are going to be occurring, maybe as low as 300, but well within typical access management guidelines for this and the kind of traffic generation of the intended use. So I would recommend that, you know, each lot be provided its own point of access and not be limited to a shared driveway. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you guys have.
Commissioners, questions for the speaker? Ms. Lowe.
You said that adding a driveway in the floodplain wouldn't impact the flood flow?
No.
Is it paved currently?
You're talking about an approach that's, you know, 24 to 30 foot wide and a floodplain elevation where you're receiving backwater. So effectively, when you're in the floodplain, you're not seeing a flow of water so much as water backing up, filling up, and storing in that location. You know, it's a very slow movement of water at that point. The actual surface of that area, whether paved or grass or trees, is going to have little impact on this fringe area of the floodplain, and the shallow elevation of the water is going to be at that location. If we were paving in an area of floodplain that was flowing water 5-6 foot deep in the floodway or somewhere of that nature, it would be a totally different scenario. But in this case, it's going to have very, very minimal impact, if any at all.
Thank you for the comment.
Additional questions, commissioners? Mr. Reed, do you have an idea where your driveway would be on that southern lot if you were to show a...
Exact location's a little unknown. I tried to put this in color to make it a little easier to see, but if you look at the green area, that's potential location of the driveways. They may shift. They will probably shift to move around. I provided some separation on those two. You can see you've got over 500 foot of separation from the roundabout on Vandiver and the highway crossing there. And then you can see separation between them, 400 and some odd feet, another 400 and some odd feet. And then, you know, a little shy of 300 feet towards the Mexico gravel roundabout. So plenty of separation from an access management standpoint. But within that flood elevation, you're looking at an area that's the Vandiver Drive itself is going to be under about a foot of water in the 100-year storm at that location. And the driveway approach then would be a foot to, you know, maybe 6 inches underwater at that point. And again, you're talking about backwater. You're talking about that the water that's kind of storing in that flow elevation. The water is going to be moving on the other side of Vandiver for sure.
Thank you, Ms. Lowe.
But where staff had talked about sharing the driveway or moving the driveway to the second, your grades are closer to 691, which is shown to be the elevation of Vandiver. Where you're showing the driveway in green, your grades are going down to 684. So, I mean, we are beginning to talk about those several feet that you were discussing previously. I mean, I don't agree that these two locations are analogous.
Well, on lot three, if you take a look at the grades, that's the elevation of the lot itself. But if you look at Vandiver Drive.
I agree, but in order to build a driveway, you're going to have to
fill that in. Now, again, remember, this is backwater. And by the floodplain overlay district, which we'll be in full compliance with, this fill is allowed and can be done and can be done safely.
Under FEMA, it's allowed. Under the subdivision under Columbia, it would not be necessarily. There's some differentiation in that interpretation. I don't think we want to go down that path right now.
These are not analysis that were done by myself, done by the City of Columbia. These were done by a federal agency. These were done by FEMA.
It would be allowed, but yes. They were not evaluating it for City of Columbia provisions, I presume.
No, absolutely not, but the city has adopted their requirements as a floodplain manager of their system, and that's where a floodplain overlay district has grown from. And so,
right, and I'm commenting as a planning and zoning commissioner based on the planning code.
Yeah, so we'll speak about the driveway itself. Let's start on that, but if you're looking at 690, the 690 range of that, 690, you're going to be above 691 at that elevation where that driveway goes in. That driveway itself within the right-of-way, it's going to be higher than the road elevation. It has to slope up by city standards. It's going to have very little impact, as we say. What occurs on a lot then becomes regulated by the floodplain overlay district. And it'll all be done within conformance of that. And we will not cause the amount of rise that district would allow. It's going to be much less than that.
Ms. Lowe?
It's a question for staff. Are we approving driveway locations at this time?
No, you're not.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any additional questions of this speaker, staff, commissioners? I see none. Thank you, sir.
Again, I would be happy if there's any other questions that come up regarding floodplain and all, I can discuss that further. And please, I'll be happy to come back up. So thank you. K-R-I-E-T-E. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to come forward?
My name is Niall Kimball. I live at 3000 East Henley, just on the other side of Highway 63. Three questions. First, if I talk now, do I get to come back for 18?
Yes.
Okay. Second, they mentioned that the discharge from these plats was going to go towards the creek. Is it going to be part of the city sewer system, or is it going to discharge into the creek?
My understanding is it would be discharging into that southeast corner, which would be part of the stormwater that's already set up there for that. It was planned for that drainage to come.
Okay. Those are my questions. Thank you.
I believe it already drains that way. So then any further development on the property will have to be, this additional stormwater will have to be mitigated as part of their development.
So. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Commissioners, any questions? No. Anyone else like to come forward and speak to us this evening? You're welcome to. I see none. Commissioners, any additional questions or information needed or other discussion or a motion? Yes, Mrs. Burns.
I appreciate the discussion on this, and I'm going to look forward to, as it comes back in a more finalized manner, to look at what's planned for these three lots. But at this point in time, I think we've received good information from staff. Thank you.
Mr. Stanton.
Thank you, Ms. Lowe, for keeping us on task concerning the floodplain regulations and concerns. Due to the fact that this is just a preliminary and I can't wait for the final to come up, I would like to make a motion, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
As it relates to case 18-35, Center State Plat 14, preliminary plat, I move to approve.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Commissioners, we have a motion has been made by Mr. Stanton for case 18-35. Has received its proper second by Mrs. Russell. Is there any discussion needed of this motion? Mr. McMahon.
Just a comment. Gentlemen, this has absolutely nothing to do what I'm about to say with your project. Personally, until we get clarity on these sensitivity and floodplain issues, and we haven't had a chance to discuss it, I'm going to vote no on these floodplain issues. and letting everyone else know that's where I'm at. Because I don't have the information, and we had a reinterpretation. I don't think I can make an informed choice.
Thank you. I understand, Mr. Mann. Thank you. Any additional discussion or comments on this motion? Ms. Lowe.
I agree with Mr. McMahon. I actually don't have an objection to this, but I do feel that we have conflicting literature in our code at the moment, and because of that, I'm also going to vote no. I feel like we're choosing one passage over another under which to look at this, and I don't feel that's correct.
Also, just so for the record, floodplain overlay is something that the staff earlier this evening discussed at our work session, and we are actually going to have this topic on a future the January 18th work session. We're going to have this specific item on the agenda, so we would like to have further discussion on this because we do know that there's some issues with it. So just for the record. Any additional comments before we ask for a roll call? Mrs. Burns, would you do a roll call when you get time?
Yes. Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
No.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Mr. Strodman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing.
No.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe.
No.
5-3, motion carries.
Thank you, Mrs. Burns. Our recommendation for approval of the preliminary plat will be forwarded to City Council for their consideration. Moving on to our first public hearing, which we, as we discussed earlier in the evening, we're going to move case 18-18 to the front of the public hearing. So we'll go ahead and open the public hearing section. And I would ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte communications prior to this meeting related to this case 18-18, please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of us. Thank you, commissioners. A request by Engineering Surveys and Services on behalf of Last Enterprises, LLC, seeking approval to rezone 7.66 acres of undeveloped land from PD, which is our planned district, to IG Industrial District. This subject site is located at the southwest corner of the intersection of Vandiver Drive and Mexico Gravel Road between Vandiver and Highway 63. Concurrent requests for a revised preliminary case 18-35 and revised final case 18-17 plat accompany this request. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The applicant is seeking a rezoning of their property on the east side of 63 from PD to IG, which is our general industrial district. The rezoning is to facilitate the development of the property into a set of three light industrial lots. The existing PD zoning of the property limits allowed uses to general retail businesses, which were consistent with the overall development theme and pattern of the center state development across 63. The parcel is not currently subject to any PD plan, however, because it wasn't submitted upon the rezoning of the property, along with the remainder of the center state property. The Columbia Imagined plan designates this parcel as a part of the open space Greenbelt District, which is designed to provide further recreational and aesthetic needs of Columbia residents. It's also intended to protect sensitive areas such as floodplains and hilly terrain from development and to preserve prime natural areas. However, despite this designation, the parcel was substantially disturbed during the construction of Vandiver Drive, the connection from the south end of the lot to the north end of the lot to Mexico Gravel Road. In light of this disturbance, the value of the subject site as a prime natural area has been diminished, and staff finds that the property's comprehensive plan designation may be an error given the transportation changes have occurred. The Vandiver Drive extension also negated any possibility for development east of the roadway due to its proximity to the Hinkson Creek stream bed. Much of the land east of the roadway lies within the floodway and as such is undevelopable. Stream corridor also acts as a natural buffer between the subject parcel and undeveloped land to the east, much of which also lies within the floodway. The Hinkson Creek floodway actually provides over a quarter of a mile of buffer in some areas between the subject site and any potential development east of the creek and existing homes east of the creek. Highway 63 acts as a similar buffer on the west side of the parcel. And so given these natural limitations, the subject site is isolated from surrounding development, and coupled with the site's proximity to the U.S. Highway 63 and to two major arterial roadways, this appears to justify the requested rezoning from PD to IG. I don't really have anything else on that. I'll just show you a little bit of context. Menards there is kind of the anchor point that you can see, at least, of the remainder of the center state development. The undeveloped portion directly east of that across 63, which is this area here, is also part of the original center state property. I believe it's recently been purchased, but no indication as to whether it's going to be developed or not in the future, or at near future anyway. As I stated, the Hinkson Creek acts as a natural kind of buffer between this property and anything to the west, or I'm sorry, to the east. And then the floodway basically takes up all of this agriculturally disturbed land here. So that's just further increases the distance between this and any future development. And then on the west side of the property, Highway 63 acts as a pretty substantial barrier between anything in this property. And also it acts as a point of ingress and egress. So this property would be directly served onto the highway for anything coming and going from the site. And as I said, also Vandiver all the way up to the site and adjacent is a major arterial. And then Mexico Gravel is a major arterial east of the roundabout there. So. So the PD zoning actually provides an opportunity for greater development and oversight. Staff does not believe the oversight is necessary at this time, given the changes that have occurred within the area since it was originally zoned. The property has remained undeveloped as a commercial tract in spite of its improved access and visibility. Given the parcel's size and its proposed division into three separate lots, the ability to develop the full spectrum of uses permitted within IG district will be limited. And furthermore, the most intense uses within IG districts, for example, heavy industrial, are required to be approved by a conditional use application, which would require additional evaluation by both the commission and city council prior to issuance of a building permit. The majority of the other uses within the IG district are consistent with the uses permitted within the PD statement of intent that governs the property today, thereby permitting compatible development with the already improved portions of the center state development. So our recommendation would be for approval of the rezoning request to IG. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Commissioners, questions for staff? I see none. Thank you, sir. We'll go ahead and open this. This is a public hearing. So we'll open it up to the public. Could we just ask for your name and address?
Thank you and good evening again. My name is still Mark Farnan, 103 East Brandon, Columbia, Missouri. I am appearing on behalf of Last Enterprises, who is the applicant. This is part two of our request tonight. This is the part that asks for rezoning. And as staff has indicated, this was part of an old plan district. And as we discussed for about 2 years here at meetings frequently, one of the intents of the new code was to try and move away from plan district zoning and into more defined and more stable zoning classifications. This is one of the first of those moves to try and accomplish that very goal. Staff supports this request, and we believe that it takes advantage of a lot of the things that were intended when that code was adopted, that it takes advantage of the existing road and infrastructure network that surrounds it on all sides. These are major collectors, state highways, and it's a perfect place to have a business or a set of businesses that need access to that roadway system without running that traffic through neighborhoods or other undesirable areas. We believe that allows for the reasonable use of a parcel that has remained unused under the previous planning zoning designation. And we know that we frequently talked about stale lands, and this is a way to make that fresh again. We believe that it makes administration of this parcel cleaner and more straightforward by converting to standard zoning designation. We do not think that it will have significant impact to the neighbors or the existing road infrastructure and traffic patterns in this area. And after this is developed, there will be more trees there then than there are now. We believe that this meets those goals. We also understand that there are questions about floodplain and that there will continue to be discussion, but those were the rules that we were given when we submitted, just like we have the new zoning code. So we would ask you for your support on what we believe is a very real and reasonable request to rezone this from a PD designation to IG. And we would accept your questions and enjoy them. And we have the same set of engineers available to answer the more technical questions that we would pose or that you would pose. So with that, that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Farnham. Commissioners, any questions for the speaker? Sorry, Mr. Farnham, but no questions.
Happy solstice, and I'm looking forward to this holiday.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else like to come forward this evening to speak with us? We would welcome this chance if you'd like to come forward.
My name is Lucinda Dunn. I live at 4401 Mexico Gravel Road, which is just east of the roundabout there where it meets Mexico Gravel on the other side of kind of the open area there. I want to go on record in opposition to the rezoning of the 7.66 acres located at the southwest corner of the intersection of Vandiver and Mexico Gravel Road from planned district to industrial district. My husband and I have lived just east of Mexico Gravel Road roundabout for 21 years, and I travel the road adjacent to the property in question on a daily basis. I have the following primary concerns with this plan. First of all, I feel that it's likely to have a negative impact on the property value and the desirability of our home and neighborhood with industrial development in such close proximity. It would be within about a quarter of a mile of my home. Secondly, rezoning of this plat could lead to further rezoning in the area to industrial. I understand that there is a floodplain area that's unlikely or less likely to be developed in the near future, but there is land, on the other side of the highway. I don't want to live in the middle of an industrial district, and I think any one of you would agree you wouldn't want to be put in that position either. I'm concerned about increased traffic in the area. And this area has already experienced a great increase in traffic over the time that we've lived there, and especially in the last 10 years. There have been a lot of housing developments on farther out Mexico Gravel Road to the east. I believe there's also going to be a large apartment complex over across from Menard soon. There's just a lot of traffic in that area, and people use those corridors to go to work. Sometimes I have to wait for 20 or 30 cars to go by before I can pull out of my driveway in the morning, and I don't think this will help any. In addition, I'm concerned about increased truck and commercial vehicle traffic in the area, which can create dangerous conditions when you're driving. Sometimes I'm sure you guys have experienced a truck stops to be able to maneuver into a position to do their business, but it happens all the time on Mexico Gravel farther on down towards Paris Road, and I don't want to see that happening any more than it already is. I'm concerned about especially the negative impact on nature and the natural aesthetics in the area, which is, as you know, is adjacent to Hinkson Creek. There is a walking trail, a pedway, along the east side of that piece of Mexico, of Vandiver there that runs between the roundabouts. I walk that trail. I enjoy the kind of the open spaces there. I enjoy being able to be right near the creek and hear the water running in the spring. And I'm concerned with industrial development right there. It's going to take away the entire feeling of the natural spaces there. I don't think it'll have a positive impact on the creek area either. I respectfully request that this case not be approved and that real consideration be given to the best interests of the local residents. I know that everybody wants to make money and everybody wants to have an opportunity for business, but I would like you to remember that people live there and it impacts us every day, not just once making a decision about this plan, but it impacts us every day moving forward. I also feel that the timing of this case has made it difficult for the local residents to be aware and active in giving their input in this case because the public hearing sign did not go up until last Friday, and this meeting is only 6 days later, and it's the week of Christmas. So I've tried to spread the word among the neighbors, but I will say this is a very difficult time to get people out of their homes and get people active to express their thoughts. So I respectfully request that you will not approve this request for rezoning, and I'm more than happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Ms. Dunn. Mr. Stanton.
Good evening.
Yes.
Let's play devil's advocate. What would you do with the property? If it was in your possession, what mm-hmm. would you like to see there?
Originally, it was part of a planned development for retail spaces. I would like to see that original plan go forward. I know there hasn't been a lot of interest in the years since that planned development was conceived. However, I think with the addition of additional residential in the area with that, I think it's more than a 300 unit apartment development going in across from Menards. I think there will be a lot of need for additional retail like places to eat. I don't think that would be a problem. I think something that is more conducive to not bringing down the value of our properties. I don't think retail would do that the way industrial would.
Just so you understand, ma'am, also retail would be a much heavier density, so the traffic and things of that nature would be much more intense with retail.
I understand, and we certainly will keep our ears open to what plans might be. Okay. But I don't think retail would have the negative effect that that industrial would.
Ms. Burns.
You said the sign went up 6 days ago. Or when were you aware of this, Ms. Dunn?
I noticed the sign. I don't know if I noticed it the first day. I noticed it over the weekend, I know.
Were you aware of this development plan prior to the sign going up?
I was not. Okay. I'm like probably the rest of you. I'm busy. It's Christmas time. I have a job. And I don't watch. I don't even take the paper. So I don't watch what's happening in the paper. When I called and I talked to Mr. Palmer about it, he said the sign went up on Friday. He explained that, there are minimum requirements for actually notifying people. He said, I believe that you only need to notify people if they're within 200 feet. Well, as you can see, there aren't a lot of residents literally within 200 feet, so there aren't very many people to notify. I saw the sign. I called, I believe, on Tuesday to get information. So I found out on Tuesday, and I started to kind of to spread the information around with the neighbors. But like I said, it's the week of Christmas. People are busy. I'm supposed to be making caramels tonight, but I'm here. So I just hope that you will deny the rezoning and consider if you lived a quarter of a mile away, what would you want there? And I mean, if you want to know what I want there, I mean, I'd be glad to think about it, but I know it's not this.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Any additional questions, commissioners? Thank you, Mrs. Dunn.
My name is Laura Ertz. I live at 3504 Mexico Gravel, which is just west of the roundabout. We bought our home in 2000. We retired here. And it was a quiet little kind of off the beaten path area. It was residential. It was, I understand, maybe what they call a feeder road. But now, since the roundabout and on the many subdivisions that are just east of us, my road is like going out onto Stadium. We back out onto Mexico Gravel, and I thank God most days, if it's the time people are going to work or coming home, that I have a chance to get out. They're also in the, between Henley's, East and West Henley, there's a number, quite a number of children there that live there and that take the city school bus or the city buses to school. And the traffic at this point is a very much of a concern for us. The other thing that is a concern is I really believe that turning this plat into industrial is going to adversely affect all of our property values. And this is certainly a concern for anyone. I believe, as Mrs. Dunn said, that it also will open that door for other industrial. I am recommending from a homeowner's perspective that this not be approved. I too could see and could certainly live with of the smaller retails, as we were told what was the plan at the previous people that were going to develop this area. But I would, we are seeing now with the additional impact with the apartments there by Menards, we have doctor's offices, we have a church that's very, very close that are really non-invasive. And I would hope that that this doesn't continue. It just isolates us more and more and causes concern with the money that we have chosen to build into the Columbia. It's nothing like a business probably would, but I think being known for a good residential place to live and to where to retire is very important. And I respectfully ask your consideration to oppose this.
Thank you, ma'am. Would you spell your last name, please?
Yes, it's E-R-T-Z, as in zebra.
Thank you. Thank you. Commissioners, any questions for Mrs. Ertz? I see none. Thank you, ma'am, for coming.
Thank you.
Again, I'm Niall Kimball. I live at 3000 East Henley, which is west of the plat that is being discussed. I am the president of the Mexico Gravel Neighborhood Association. Unfortunately, I couldn't get more of the neighbors out tonight. As it's been said, it's the week before Christmas, and they're all busy wrapping presents and all other fun stuff that's Christmas-related. However, those that I have talked to are opposed to this rezoning. As was mentioned by our first speaker, that plot has sat empty for several years since Curtis McDonald tried to make Center State go. As was mentioned by Ms. Dunn, the new apartment buildings that are going to go in, I think, might be an opportunity to leave this as a planned district. The folks that are going to live in those apartments are going to want restaurants, stores in the area that they can shop without having to drive long distances. I just think that's a better use of that land. Going back to the discharge, as an environmentalist, I'm a fisheries biologist by trade. I have concern that we didn't really discuss or get an answer as to whether the discharge is going into the creek or into the city sewer line. If it's going into the creek with an industrial zone, I've got a lot of concern about what may end up in that creek, in effect, the biota in that ecosystem. This original plan has been picked apart, and what once was probably going to be very nice for the neighbors in the area, it's just slowly going backwards for us, and I'd recommend you guys oppose this too.
Thank you, sir. Commissioners, any questions for the speaker? Mr. Stanton.
Why did you wear a Nebraska jacket?
I grew up in Lincoln. Oh. It's blood is thicker than, you know.
This is Tiger Country.
But, I understand that. I've got kids that cheer for them, and it's been a great place to raise my children. So.
Good. Okay, so same question. What would you rather, if you own this property, put yourself in the other boats, other people's shoes?
As Ms. Dunn said, I think when we get the apartment complex that is being built, it's going to be young professionals. I think that area would be, I won't say it's going to, but I think it would be a great place to put, you know, a little bar, a little restaurant, something that those folks could come and relax after work. There's going to be shopping needs. Menards has a lot of fun stuff, but it doesn't meet all your daily requirements like groceries and stuff and other things. But I'd like to see if that's going to go through, which it is. I'd like to see that plot of land get given a chance to develop more in that direction. I also have concern, as what's been previously said, that if we do IG on this, based on what I read, is possible that other plots of land in this area are going to end up in the same boat. So I'd like to see it go to small retail type shops and stuff.
Thank you.
Any additional questions, commissioners, of the speaker? I see none. Thank you, Mr. Kimball.
Name is Matthew Crudy, with Engineering Surveys and Services, offices at 1113 Fay Street. Again, civil engineer for the project. Address a couple questions. I think there were some comments regarding traffic. In terms of the intended use of this property and the traffic generation, based on ITE generation rates, you're looking at peak hour turning rates out of some of these driveways at 15 vehicles, two vehicles, one vehicle. These are very low intensity uses. Versus a restaurant that's going to be creating hundreds of additional trips during that same period of time, or a retail building that will be doing the same. And for the last, I don't recall exactly when this was rezoned, but when Vandiver was completely built, but it's been sitting ready for development as retail, as a restaurant use. And during that time period, we had two restaurants across the highway go out of business. I can't speak to the market, it's not what I do, but I think we've seen some evidence of how those uses have not been able to survive up there, and there's continued empty space across the way. From a stormwater management perspective, we have some pretty intensive requirements in Columbia that have to be vetted, and you know, the concern to Hinkson Creek is going to be addressed, and that's within our ordinance, that's within our regulations. You know, it's going to be dealt with, and then from the new UDC standpoint, a lot has changed from what this original zoning was from the CP. And I think there's a lot to argue that the protections that are in place for the neighbors are actually more intensive under the new UDC than they would have been under the CP zoning. And with these uses, and, you know, calling it industrial, these aren't what you would consider your heavy industrial type uses. Those would require another approval. You know, these are more warehouses, these are distribution, these are, again, fairly unintensive uses. And with each of those uses, the neighborhood protection standards provide more requirements for screening and buffering and, you know, how exactly this is going to be developed. And as a reminder, in terms of if the market changes, if there is a demand for those type of uses, you know, the IG district, that remains a viable use in that district. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Stanton.
Waiting for an answer, or maybe I fell asleep or something. Okay. What are the intended use, unless it's some proprietary information that you want to disclose, but in general, what are you planning to put here?
Well, as I described, there's a traffic generation report that I provided the staff, and I don't know if that made it in your packet. I didn't see that it did. But we classified this under what was classified as light industrial. And that's the allowed use. I mean, we can't really get into heavy industrial in this. So that would be things like warehouse or distribution, things of that nature. Maybe some kind of like light research, very light manufacturing type facilities. You know, everything within a building, they kind of get into all the standards. You know, you're looking at what you're going to have is basically large building spaces, some large roofed areas. You know, you're not going to see outdoor storage. You're not going to see things of that nature. So you'll have some parking. You're going to have some loading areas. You know, you're correct. You'll have some trucks coming through there to service the facilities. But you know, it's not like putting something. You know, I'm not picking on anyone in particular, but 3M or Quaker. You know, the industries we're used to out on Parrish Road. It's not anything nearly that kind of intensity.
I have a question. Mr. Creedy, I think it was either you or Mr. Farnham mentioned earlier about the landscaping and how that the trees. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, I liked his comment because as it stands today, there isn't a tree on that property. And when we're done, the landscaping requirements in the UDC are very intensive. I don't think we've had a chance to really see the intensiveness of it, but I've had landscape architects, some other architects tell me that how tightly spaced the trees are required is so tight that the trees won't really be able to grow to their full potential. You know, you're looking at, once you get your street trees and then your landscape buffer trees, that you're looking at separations of, you know, 10 to 15 feet on some large shade trees. And these are trees that could have 30, 40 foot drip lines in their maturity. So you're going to see a lot in here. And buffering is going to be required on all four sides to buffer the roadway with those trees. So it's going to look different than it does today. It's going to look a lot heavier. There's going to be a lot more landscaping. I mean, today it's just basically a fescue field that gets mowed on occasion. So.
Thank you for continuing that. Any additional questions, commissioners? Mr. Creedy? I see none. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to come forward? I see none. I'll go ahead and close this public hearing. Commissioners, questions, comments, discussion? We have Christmas gifts to wrap, so, you know, any discussion? You know, I was kind of make a few comments. You know, I think, you know, we obviously haven't seen the plan to see what it's going to be, but, you know, I visualize that this location is going to be utilizing those roundabouts to access 63 for probably most of the time. I don't see them going maybe east on Mexico Gravel, unless maybe they're going to Battle or, you know, maybe that direction. I don't really see that being a very logical direction. I think it's maybe a little bit of the Mexico Gravel to the west to get over to Paris or, you know, range line. But again, I think, you know, that 63 is why that type of use would go there. And so, you know, all that land to the east is agricultural in the floodplain. It's not going to be developed. There's a lot of buffer to the east, to the west. You know, we've got 63, and most of it's developed immediately to the west. North is, you know, that's a different scenario, but that's a different day. I plan on supporting it. You know, we obviously know that with our stormwater and different ordinances, we'll take care of the water. There's not going to be any hazards going into the Hinkson Creek. We know that this is light industrial. It's not your smokestack, your smelters. It's, you know, it's going to be some buildings with some work going on inside of the buildings and very little on the outside except for parking lot and cars. And I think the landscaping would be a huge improvement. It would be somewhat a little more complementary to the east side. You know, being in the retail business, I can see why it's not. That's a tough area, and I don't think it's ever going to be a strong retail destination area. Part of me hopes that just because of selfishly my retail's elsewhere, but retail's hard up there, and I don't see, even with those apartments, getting much better. Ms. Lowe.
I have a couple extra questions for staff.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
I'm looking at the CATSO plan and at the zoning plan, mm-hmm. So I don't know if we can pull those up at all. But on the CATSO plan, it does show that Vandiver Spur connecting down to Clark. So I was wondering if you could just comment on when, if that's planned, what kind of development we were hoping to see along that, what changes that could bring, because that would obviously bring some different pressure to that parcel.
Yeah,
Yeah, that is on the plan. And
Clark would be down. So basically from right now, it's the bus depot for STA, but just east of Home Depot connecting up through, it looks like, to that roundabout.
Yeah, in transportation planning, it's desirable to have more local roads parallel to freeways that interconnect interchanges. And that was the thought there. That being said, the recent discussions of that link is that it would be a long way off. And there's a general awareness of a great deal of environmental sensitivity that's playing into that. Other priorities that at least the city has as a partner in council. Mm-hmm. So I could not give you an estimate of when. I believe there's been some preliminary studies done. I've seen drawings, not lately, but 10 years ago. I know there were some preliminary schemes done, but I think for the time being that project's to the back burner.
Okay. The zoning map, any chance of pulling that up? I'm looking at the zoning, the IG zoning in that area really seems to be along the Paris Road corridor. And this does look like we have a PD corridor running up that 63. So I was just curious if we could take a look at that and maybe evaluate how this might change. It looks like there was a plan for the PD zoning coming up along 63 there.
I'm going to guess a lot of that was Center State. I think Center State was a very large development, Ms. Lowe, that probably brought that PD to majority of that.
All right. So I'm looking at the darker gray, which is the IG zoning. And it does give Paris Road a certain feel. Just based on the comments that got brought up, looking at the neighborhood in context and what maybe was planned for it.
I would argue that you've got Highway 63 right there in the middle, and to me that's not Paris Road.
So to staff, do you see all that light gray turning to IG? Or, I mean, this would be a switch, and it does feel like we're maybe beginning to change that. Do we remember what the intent was with all that PD going up along there, if we anticipated the neighborhoods coming in and the supporting that?
I'll just comment. I think the light gray is meant to represent diverse land uses because that was Center State. Completely abandoned that. There's been obvious changes since the original concept of Center State, for those of you been around long enough to remember what that was proposed to be. But there's a good mix of land uses there, and my view of this particular request is it's that condition of being surrounded by roadway that's really driving the idea of industrial. I don't think it's the beginning of a large IG district. I think it's the particular condition of this. It's a oblong piece. It's going to display well to the freeway, but it's got roads on all four sides, so there'll be good accessibility and for maybe a service-oriented business that's quasi-industrial in nature, it's probably a good location. It would work for retail, too, but I don't know how strong the retail market is.
But just one final question. It was pointed out to us that the trail system does come right by there. Is that correct?
I believe actually in that location, that's a city sidewalk.
Okay.
It is adjacent to the Hinkson Creek, but it's widened out there. As I stated, the it's not on the CIP plan yet. Future intentions are to widen Vandiver to four lanes adjacent to this property. And so the sidewalks are set wide enough so that that can happen without tearing those up and moving them.
Okay, thank you.
Additional questions, commissioners of staff? Comments? Motion? Mr. McMahon.
I just wanted to thank Planner Smith for digging that up for us.
Icebreaker.
Whoever dug that up.
Ms. Russell.
Well, Mrs. Russell. For the purposes of a vote, I'm going to make a motion to, in the case of 1818, Center State Plat 14 rezoning, approve the requested rezoning.
Thank you, Mrs. Russell.
Second.
Second was Ms. Rushing. You're welcome. Commissioners, we have a motion has been made by Mrs. Russell for case 18-18 and received its proper second from Ms. Rushing. Do we have any additional comments or discussion needed on this motion? I see none. Mrs. Secretary, when you're ready for a roll call.
Yes. Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
No.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Mr. Strodman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
7-1 motion carries.
Thank you, Mrs. Burns. And for the those in the audience this evening, you can have the opportunity, if you so choose, to speak at City Council. Our recommendation is not final. We have no authority. We just have a approval process to forward it to City Council with our recommendations. So you will have the opportunity, so you have a chance to get your neighbors if they so desire to speak. It's not over. So don't think that just because you didn't get your answer tonight that you're looking for, you still have an opportunity to go to the decision makers, who is a City Council. So watch the paper and or other locations. Yes, Mr. Stanton.
I would like to also add the new code does have a lot of buffering between the residential and industrial. So as citizens and neighbors, I would definitely hold the developers' feet to the fire, make sure they do at least what they're supposed to do, and stay active in the process along the way.
Thank you, Mr. Stanton. Yes, Mr. Palmer.
I just wanted to make an announcement that the vote for that at council right now would be scheduled for February 5th.
So February 5th. I would mark on your calendars for anyone that would like to attend the related case on City Council. Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Moving on, we'll move on to case 18-5. At this time, I would ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte communications prior to this meeting related to case 18-5, please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of us. Thank you, commissioners. A request by Civil Group on behalf of Lifestyle Development, Inc. for approval of a major amendment to the villas at Old Hawthorne PD plan, most recently revised on 2/15/17 to amend the lot layouts along Camus and Harlan Courts. The subject site is located east and west of Old Hawthorne Drive West, approximately 1/2 mile north of State Highway WW. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a existing PD plan. It's approximately 50 acres, residential in nature. They are coming back with a request for a revised PD plan, major amendment. They're adding some lots in a certain location, and that triggered the need for a major amendment. Just to give you some context, this is the Old Hawthorne development on the west side. Old Hawthorne Drive West, the large loop road is basically running through the middle of this property. It's Rolling Hills Road along the far west of the slide there. The amendment generally affects this area within the PD plan. There's two cul-de-sacs that were shown on the original plan. The existing zoning permitted a range of housing dwelling types. One would be single-family detached, the other being single-family attached in a 2-4 unit arrangement. They're looking to eliminate the other uses and just commit to single-family detached for these two cul-de-sacs, but then they would like to add approximately 3 lots per cul-de-sac. So Harlan would go from 10 lots to 13 lots, and Camus Court would go from 12 lots to 15 lots. And that is the extent of the amendment. Reviewing that, staff didn't feel like that would have a significant impact on the intent of the site and is within the density allowed per the original zoning. So we're recommending approval of that amendment. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Commissioners, any questions or questions of staff? I see none. As is, this is a public hearing, so I'll go ahead and open it up. If anyone from the audience would like to come forward at this time for case 18-5, we would welcome that. We will go ahead and close the public hearing. Commissioners, discussion, questions? Ms. Lowe.
Motion.
Motion's acceptable.
Case 18-5, move to approve the major amendment for the villas at Old Hawthorne PD plan.
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Lowe, and Mr. Stanton for that second. Commissioners, we have a motion for approval of case 18-5 by Commissioner Lowe. Received a second by Mr. Stanton. Is there any discussion needed on this motion? I see none. Mrs. Burns, when you're ready for roll call.
Yes. Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Mr. Strodman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
8-0, motion carries.
Thank you, Mrs. Burns. Our recommendation for approval will be forward to City Council for their consideration. Moving on to case 18-20. At this time, I would ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte communication prior to this meeting related to this case, please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of them, in front of us. I see none. Thank you. A request by BFA Inc. on behalf of Red Oak Marketplace LLC for approval of a PD, which is our plan development plan on 4.42 acres of land located on Lot 2 of Red Oak South, plat number 1, to be known as Red Oak Marketplace PD. The PD plan represents a revision to the existing Red Oak South preliminary plat to allow the re-subdivision of the property into four lots. The subject property is located on the northwest corner of Grindstone Parkway and North Fleet Drive. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a request for a PD plan in the Red Oak subdivision. As you've probably remember, our last few years, we've had several plans come through on this site. This would be the last developable lot within that PD subdivision. It is the larger remaining lot, and the property in question right now is currently platted as one large lot. So part of this request is a PD that will then revise the underlying plat to create four lots. So it would serve as a revised preliminary, and then they'd replat that at council on the condition that this is approved, of course. This is the oblique aerial of the site there. You see the den kind of to the east of this, the residential portion of that. All the other lots along Grindstone are generally either finished or under construction currently right now. And I'll point out the lot to the west of this is the existing tree preservation, which was part of that original development. So that lot is preserved for the existing vegetation on it currently, and a small 20-foot strip along the south side of this lot as well. Generally, the red line there is the extent of the existing lot. The internal lots now will be the subdivided future layout of this site. The request would then basically create three outlots along Grindstone Plaza with a larger lot to the rear of this site, which would contain a multi-tenant building. In general, they'd also have four separate buildings, one in each lot. Just some background, this whole original zoning was approved in 2010, and again, the site was platted with the one lot. The site in general overall will provide approximately 200 spaces, which is within the bounds of the UDC. The square footage of the buildings on the site, approximately 32,000 square feet. The original zoning had a limitation on the gross floor area, and this fits within that original allotment. There's some other stipulations from the original zoning in the statement of intent, including elevations requirement as far as building materials, limits on EFIS on the elevations, also rooftop screening, and some other things that were evaluated as part of the request. Point out some of the features of the site. They are providing a shared access along Norfleet. There'll be a access easement providing access to the rear of the three properties at lots along Grindstone, as access is not provided there. Providing a consolidated access point for these lots. And good pedestrian connectivity within the site with sidewalks providing access from the public sidewalk into the site and through individual and between individual lots. This is the landscape plan. In addition to that, showing the required street trees and other compliant landscaping per the new UDC requirements. And these elevations, again, were reviewed by staff for meeting the requirements of the statement of intent, just for illustration purposes here. We did identify a couple small technical corrections with the elevations that will get corrected before it goes to council. One of those with the Qdoba elevations, they're correcting that to add a small additional area of transparent materials to be compliant with the UDC. But I would point out that it is compliant with the statement of intent ordinance, so it should be fine, but we're going to get that finalized before it goes to council. So that'd be the only small thing I would point out at this stage. In general, it does meet all the requirements of the original statement of intent zoning and the new UDC code. I would recommend approval on the condition that the small technical corrections are completed before it's forwarded to council. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Commissioners, are there any questions for staff? I see none. We'll go ahead and open this up to a public hearing. Anyone like to come forward?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the Planning Commission. My name is Rick Rolfing. I am an engineer for this project. I am with BFA. We are out of Washington, Missouri. My address is 103 Elm Street. Representing Red Oak Marketplace this evening, I will be brief. As staff has mentioned, we do meet all of the intended criteria of the original 2010 statement. And as well as the current UDC criteria, we are working diligently with staff to address the small technical comments of late on the Qdoba. I think we received those yesterday late afternoon. With me here tonight is also my design engineer. The landowner is here if there's any questions. I will point out we are not in a floodplain, Mr. McMahon. And tonight
that directed?
He knows you well.
Tonight we just respectfully request your favorable recommendation on the council. And we're here for any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Rolfing. Commissioners, any questions of the speaker? I see none. Thank you, sir. Anyone else that to come forward? Go ahead and close this public hearing. Commissioners. Discussion, comments, more additional information needed? Mr. McMahon?
As a matter of disclosure, my parents live across the river from you all, just FYI.
Mr. Stanton?
I would like to make a motion.
We will take that motion.
As it relates to case 18-20, Red Oak Marketplace, PD plan, I move to approve.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. McMahon, thank you. We have a motion made by Mr. Stanton for approval of case 18-20. Mr. McMahon, second to that motion. Do we have any discussion or clarification needed? I see none. Mrs. Secretary, when you're ready.
Yes. Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Mr. Strodman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe?
Yes.
8-0, motion carries.
Thank you, Mrs. Burns. Our recommendation for approval of case 18-20 will be forwarded to City Council for their consideration. Comments of the public? Comments of staff?
I think I have no comments for this evening, other than have a Merry Christmas. We will see you on January 18th, as January 4th currently has nothing on the agenda, so that most likely will be canceled. So have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I'll defer to Mr. Teddy if he has any comments.
Just say enjoy your break. You deserve it, and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Season's greetings to everyone.
Thank you, Mr. Teddy, and city staff in general. Commissioners, comments of the commission. Mr. McMahon.
Just real quick, I wanted to ask Commissioner Lowe a follow-up, and anybody else can jump in on this. We talked about density bonuses in the UDC, and we were going to put that off till later. And Commissioner Loeb had talked about Boss Hogan driving that train. I'm sorry, sir. I will repeat. Where did you skip off? What did you, Commissioner Lowe had stated that she would be a subcommittee of one to do the base investigation of the requirements and the needs and the demands for density bonuses. And I just was kind of wondering where that was at and if you needed any help.
I was waiting for it to come up or get our agenda moving through the conditional use items review. My understanding was we were going to start jumping into those next year. I have not done a lot of extra legwork beyond what I did initially, but would welcome any help.
I would just, if I may, just to close this out a little bit, given Secretary Carson's proposed budget, given
yes.
the governor's proposed direction and the chances the legislature will overturn that, our need for affordable housing may become quite acute sooner rather than later. It's already acute.
With tax credits going off the table, yes, I think this is an issue
particularly
that
rentals,
need
which is
to,
you were interested in.
I just had that discussion earlier today.
I would rather, just for our attorney's sake and our commission, I'd love to talk about this sooner rather than later in work session so we could kind of get the ball rolling.
Is this something you would like to see on your next
I would session? Love to see it if we can. I know we've got a lot to do, but sooner rather than later because of the need issue.
Okay. And if there are any subcommittee formations and stuff, we can talk about the structure
and
of that.
We can do that at that time.
I think we've already started that ball.
I would.
Yeah,
right.
But
we can discuss it further at the next meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Mann. Mr. Stanton.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Second on that. Everyone have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Real quick note, those cases on your screen you will see in January. So.
Oh, yes.
Pat would be angry if we didn't at least mention.
It's too late.
Thank you.
It's off the record now.
Adjourn.